Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God, and through him we have direct access to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Apparently there are two. This is Wretched Radio. I had one, hence the opening jingle. But Jimmy, you've informed me we've got another word of the day. I was looking for something that ends in a shun to talk about that we are secured in Christ. That when you get saved, you're forever saved. You don't need to worry about it. You've been adopted. There has been a cosmic declaration justified that God cannot revoke.
That's right.
Therefore, you're secure. And so in order to make our Advent theme at Alpharetta Bible Church, you know, sound, you know, cool or something.
Relatable.
Sound Southern Baptist-y, yeah, maybe? Yeah, yeah. Sean, and every adoption, he was born for your adoption. He was born for your sanctification. He was born for your glorification. And he was born for your securitization. Oh, wow. Securitization.
There you go.
All righty then. But you said there's a better word besides even protection, which you offered a moment ago.
Right.
What is it?
Preservation.
Well, that's good.
That is good.
That's real good.
And give me a few more minutes, I might have another one.
You got that on AI.
I did not.
You did that all by yourself.
I did.
This is 2025, you know.
I know, but listen.
It's okay. You could actually, in fact, Jimmy, it's going to be a matter of minutes. Neither of us are going to be needed soon.
That's probably true, but here's why I fight it so much. Because I know me, and if I start relying on it, I'll always rely on it, and then I will get dumb.
Oh, it's like not learning math tables.
Right.
Why do we need to learn that when we've got a calculator on our phone? Because, that's why, because. And basic math, oofta, it's lacking. In fact, I think we maybe talked about this a few weeks ago, that the universities are now having to have like freshman basic math. Okay, everybody, here's addition. What? And as far as like memorizing the charts, like 6 times 7, we don't need to know that. Yeah, actually you do. If you're going to advance in your understanding of how God runs the universe, We've moved away from that. And I agree with Jimmy. The more guys lean on AI, the dumber they're going to be. Preservation.
Preservation.
Good. Good word, Jimmy.
Would you
like to hear my word?
Okay.
Clevernutics. Clevernutics.
Clever.
That's my word. That's mine, by the way.
Clever.
I've already contacted Washington to get that trademarked because I see it as a trend.
So that's clever hermeneutics.
Exactly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's what I did. Clevernutics.
Yeah, that's good.
Hermeneutics, the art and science of interpreting scripture, because it is both of those things. That's hermeneutics, but I see a trend where guys are practicing something called clevernutics, where they take a verse and they re-understand it and they make it say something it's never said before, or they make it say something that nobody's ever understood before. They make it say something that perhaps the church has affirmed before, but couldn't use that verse to support it, so that they've actually got biblical support for a bad idea. Who am I thinking of? Well, case in point, but there are others. And I bring this up not just to hack on N.T. Wright, although frankly, his stuff. And he comes across as this Anglican academic who he must be right the way that he taught, you know, in that accent, that doesn't hurt. And I think he's causing problems with very essential doctrines like, you know, justification. And he's been at this for years. Recently, with the announcement of his new book, he's making the tour and he's doing interviews and they're being printed on the Christian Post, etc. I think that he reveals a growing trend that is worth identifying so that you don't get hoodwinked by it. If you're following a teacher who opens up the word or teaches a subject and you go, wow, That was amazing. I've never heard that before. Then you should be like five alarm fire. Anytime somebody's like, I've got a new way of understanding it, or we've lost the correct understanding. And then they might hearken back to a couple of quotes from early church fathers. See, this is how they... So now I'm going to show you how to get there by cleverly using the Bible to support my position on this subject. N.T. Wright, it appears, very guilty of that. He was interviewed on the Christian Post. The problem, he said, that most Western Christians today think that the whole point of Christianity is for our souls to go to heaven when we die. Okay. That's not the whole point. So that would be a straw man. That's not the whole point. But is the point of creation that God is glorified by the salvation of those he saves? Yeah. And as a human being, don't I have a great interest in that? Nevertheless, he said, the problem is Western Christians think the whole point of Christianity is for our souls to go to heaven when we die. But the New Testament concentrates on God coming to dwell with us. There was a case of this earlier this week where somebody used a word like concentrate. Oh, yeah. The whole point of Gavin Newsom. Hey, the Bible, man, it just really stresses taking care of the poor. It's like a big deal. No, the issue is a big deal, but biblically, if you weigh it next to all of the other subjects, it's not that heavy on the scale. It doesn't mean we ignore it. I was simply critiquing his use of words to describe how much emphasis the Bible actually puts on a subject. Now, God only has to say it one time for it to be important. But I think that we can also appreciate that if God says something like five times, okay, all right, it must be a bigger... 50 times? Okay, that's a big deal then. And so we can appreciate the weightiness of a subject based on the repetition. But to say that the Bible is just, oh man, it concentrates on feeding the poor. No, it doesn't. Nor does it concentrate on God coming to dwell with us. It concentrates on the promise that God would send a head crusher to die for sinners. The promise that was given to Abraham, which is an ongoing for forever promise. That's what the theme of the Bible is. So he's taken a theme that, yes, God is going to come to dwell with us, because you can see it in the bookends, can't you? God was walking in the garden in the cool of the eve with his people. He was dwelling with his people. What do we see in Revelation 21 and 22? Heaven comes to earth and God dwells with his people. Amen. What N.T. Wright is now trying to do is to say, see, now that's where our emphasis should be, because the Bible concentrates on that. Quote, the direction of travel is wrong, and the result is wrong, and the intermediate stages are wrong. The misunderstanding, he said, comes from the Greek word psuche, often rendered soul, is rooted in the Hebrew, I'm quoting him, by the way, is rooted in the Hebrew nephesh, which does denote an immortal, disembodied essence, but the whole living person. So here's what he's doing. Taking some words, and then he's going to show you some verses where those words are used to say, see, I told you what to think up front. Now I explained to you what this word means. I've showed you a verse that uses this word. Therefore, my position is supported. Clever nudics. And it basically works like this. There's many different tactics to it, but use the semantic range of a word. It could mean this, it could mean this, it could mean this, it could mean this. But I really think that this is the emphasis. Now look at this verse. Ta-da, see what I did? And then it gets a little bit more sophisticated in a bad kind of way. They find other verses that support the new interpretation. So I've got a new understanding. See, it's not about the salvation of sinners. It's about God coming to dwell with earth. So I go find those, for instance, Revelation 21 and 22 and Genesis 2 and 3. Okay, so see? And it feels like, yeah. But what does it do? It ignores everything in between Genesis 2 and Revelation 22. It ignores any other emphasis. That I see this so right. Hey, man, this is what God is all about. This is his thing, man. It's my thing now, and it better be your thing. And they use clever nudics to get there. So they find other verses that seem to support their new understanding. They ignore every other verse that supports a traditional understanding. Then they caricaturize groups, like you just heard N.T. Wright. The Western Church got it all wrong because they're all thinking like that. They've all got it wrong. And he bases part of this too on eschatology. They've all got it wrong. And then he uses anecdotes to impute everybody. That's exactly what he does in this, just in this little short interview in the Christian Post. And I've seen it before. Now, how do you identify it? Well, listen for those things. Listen for, hey, we've kind of had a misunderstanding about this verse. Hold on. Your bar just got higher, preacher man. Listen for that. Hey, I think the church has had it wrong. Oh, hold on. We understand the Bible is the authority, so we submit to the Bible, not to tradition. We're not Roman Catholic, but that's a flare that just got fired off. Furthermore, if they start using semantic range, and then if they start to present something that's really clever, and it's like, see this verse here? Now we know that it says this because of the semantic range. Now take a look at this verse over here that uses a similar theme. Therefore, that's what I mean. Now take a look and see that's related then to this verse. And they draw this map of the Bible to go, wah and la, here it is. That is clever nudics. Be on the alert. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose. Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. We made a decision. We're going to trust God to provide through faithful partners who believe in this mission. We'd rather give everything away and trust Him than hold back truth because someone just can't afford it. And it's working. 300,000 Play the Men booklets distributed on campuses. 3 incredible campus visits. Millions of views on YouTube. Our podcasts are in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book was released in 600 radio stations, 120 TV networks, all carrying our programming. And the Fortis Plus app, well, it's on every streaming platform. Right now, every gift you give through the end of the year is matched dollar for dollar. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and make your gift count. Double your impact today.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these 3 questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I have two bones to pick. This is Wretched Radio. It's not like he couldn't have called or something. Not like he couldn't have sent a text. No. I have to read about a new Answers in Genesis initiative on the Christian Post. Thanks a lot, Ken Buddy. Did you know that Answers in Genesis has a new attraction in Branson, Missouri? I didn't either. Wow. Is this some well-kept secret? What is going on? It's called the Truth Traveler. It opened November 18th at the Moon River Theater. That was the Andy Williams place. I've been to Branson. I don't know how they're doing these days with tourism in Branson. I suspect they're kind of holding steady for people who don't want, you know, Las Vegas. You got Las Vegas way over there, and you got Branson over here. You got Dollywood, Wisconsin Dells, things like that for people who dig something that's just a lot more family friendly. So at the Moon River Theater, Andy Williams is dead, right? He could sing. He really could. He was kind of the Michael Bublé Christmas guy before Michael Bublé, because he could just sing anything and he was just enjoyable to listen to. And he was a better singer than I think most people give him credit for. Nevertheless, Truth Traveler takes an immersive journey through 6,000 years of biblical history using the same cutting-edge virtual reality technology found at major theme parks. I'm kind of intrigued. Through a headset, you experience everything from creation and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. That's Ken Ham. That's Answers in Genesis right there. The six C's of creation. You know, creation is the first one. You've got preservation. No, that's not a C. That would be some. You got the corruption. There it is. Corruption. See what they did? Creation. Corruption. They know what they're doing there.
That's right.
And then ultimately consummation. Because Answers in Genesis, I think everybody has the opinion, well, it's just about creation and the flood. Wrong on both counts. That's not what it's about. You say, wait a second. They built an ark. It's not what it's about. They've got a museum. It's all about creation and dinosaurs and cavemen and stuff. It's not what it's about. Answers in Genesis is about the gospel. That is their heartbeat at Answers in Genesis. The attraction is impressive. This is a review from the Christian Post. The attraction is surprisingly impressive, both in its quality and in the intensity of the experience. In fact, it may be about as realistic as fictional travel through time and space can possibly be. So there you have it. If you're going to Branson, check out Truth Traveler at the Moon River Theater in Branson, Mo. And if you bump into Ken, say, thanks, buddy. Thanks. Thanks a lot. But that's just one of the bones that I have to pick. My second one is with one N.T. Wright. Seems like a nice enough bloke, but his teaching has entered into that realm of, I'm so clever. Look what I've done to Christianity. All of you people who thought it was this, I'm going to show you it's that. Hence, new perspectives on Paul. Hold on. I don't need a new one. I don't need new, clever person. Where did these new, like everybody was a moron before this? You read the Puritans, their grasp of scripture is just absolutely scary. And they were plenty smart. Why didn't they have these perspectives? Why? And again, the tactics that get used to go back to the Bible and to try to make it say that, do you recall, Jimmy, last week mentioned N.T. Wright, mm-hmm. when he was asked the question about, do you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible?
Yes.
This is the chin boogie, the clever nudics that I'm talking about. So the answer, do you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, would be an absolute yeah. Our eternity depends on it. This is from N.T. Wright. Inerrancy was a word invented particularly by American rationalists as a way of saying we are Protestants, not Catholics. So we don't believe in an inerrant pope. We believe in an inerrant Bible instead. The way I see it is, I think we have the Bible God intended us to have. It's full of questions and puzzles and open doors, inviting us to go through, but not necessarily telling us what we're going to find when we go through them. Razzle, dazzle. Now, he kind of answered the question, but it's all couched. It's all safe, because you don't want to have traditional lines drawn. And one of the ways that I see that N.T. Wright and others who are very, very clever do this is with the Bible. You see, this isn't really that. I call it clever nudics. Jimmy, would you like an example of clever nudics?
I would.
I've got one. Here it is. When you and the family want to go out to get some sort of ice cream treat, where do you go? You ever do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where do you go?
Are you specifically, we go to Brewster's, I think.
Oh, Brewster. Okay, Brewster's.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Slightly better than Dairy Queen. But I was looking for Dairy Queen. Could you help me out? Could you throw me a bone here? Dairy Queen?
Dairy Queen.
See, you are just a part of the whole scheme. Because what you don't know is that Dairy Queen is not a little chain that sells ice cream cones. Uh-huh. It's not. It's a covert Catholic agricultural spy organization of the modern age.
Wow.
Infiltrating communities under the guise of soft serve. You see, that's why they have a drive-through to maximize surveillance coverage, and why the menu features blizzards, an obvious reference to winter campaigns to suppress Islamic expansion in the Iberian Peninsula during the 16th century. That's what Dairy Queen is all about. And I've got all of the proof to support that ridiculous statement. So, for instance, vanilla, well, we all know that's actually a reference to the purity of the Roman Catholic faith and the Vatican. So that's why they serve vanilla. Well, whatever it is there. Chocolate, that would be a little hat tip to the dark robes of the Dominican friars. Strawberry, a symbol of the blood spill defending Catholic interests during the reclaiming of Spain. See, that is what Dairy Queen is about. It's actually a covert Catholic organization.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't know that, did you?
I had no idea.
Well, that's why you come to see me, and that's why you buy my book, because I teach you clever things like that. Would you like me to go on?
I don't know.
All right, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I came up with this dopey idea, and I fed it to the AI machine. I said, hey, write something satirical about Dairy Queen not being Dairy Queen, because we all know it's not dairy, so that word has to mean something else. There are no royalty at those shops, so clearly that word has a different meaning. And I think it has something to do with Catholic suppression of the Islamic hordes. Go. And wow, did it go. It did flavors, like you just heard, blizzard sizes. It's small, medium, large, and royal aren't arbitrary. They reflect the expanding influence of Catholicism over time. Royal is the ultimate nod to monarchy, reminding you that Queen Mary is never far from the plan. The swirl pattern of every blizzard is mathematically encoded using the Fibonacci sequence to mirror Vatican architectural designs. Okay, this is almost conspiratorial, but it makes the point. Now, while this may be patently and blatantly ridiculous, this is what guys are doing with the Bible. This is what they're doing. And I see it, and it's gaining traction. It's painting Christianity as something that we've never really seen before. And we need to be on the alert for this. N.T. Wright, just one of them. Watch for the marks. Watch for the signs. And this goes for every sermon that we listen to. It does. If a pastor ever says, hey, I discovered this about the word, that's not a panic statement. But when the pastor says, hey, y'all, I know we used to think Easter was about, like N.T. Wright did with 2 Corinthians 5. It's not really about justification. Really? Really? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. What? That that's not about justification? Oh, teach me, wise sage. Look out for those types of redefining of what we've understood historically as Orthodox Christianity. And before we go, not that this has anything to do with Wham, might I kindly encourage you to possibly consider supporting Fortas Institute as the year draws nigh? I don't know what that means exactly. Not, is it? So it's coming closer, right?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Could you come up with the word? Put it in the AI machine. Nighification. Yeah. To participate in nighification, would you please visit fortisinstitute.org/donate? We have a matching gift campaign. And you can learn on the website all of the things that we're doing here. We want to be a ministry that never turns into, well, NT Wright. fortisinstitute.org/donate. And we thank you. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.